Who do the crowds say that Jesus is? With over 38,000 Christian denominations in the world, each with a different version of who Jesus Christ is, it can be confusing. I think that some people think that he's pretty much not too different from Oprah. I mean, if you think about it, all three have huge followings. They're into philanthropy, and they each have a book club, right? So maybe Jesus is just like Oprah. But no, Jesus did not claim to be a self-help guru. He claimed to be God incarnate. He claimed to also be, as Peter professes in the gospel today, the Christ of God. And he's asking you today the same thing that he asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Not just what does everybody else say, but what do you say? Now, the Christ of God comes from a word meaning the Anointed One. And this harkens back to the Old Testament when priests, prophets, and kings were anointed to guide Israel towards heaven, towards God. Now, a priest, we tend to think as Catholics when we hear the word priest as this guy with black and a white collar. But think of priests in a very generic sense. There are even priests in other religions. A priest is the one who offers sacrifice on behalf of another and mediates God between them. Brothers and sisters, we are all called to be priests. Maybe not the same ministerial priesthood that a Catholic priest has, or a bishop, or even a deacon. But every single one of us are baptized into Jesus Christ's role in offering a sacrifice on behalf of another and mediating God to other people. Every single one of us can do that. A prophet, of course, was the one who shared the word of God with the people. And they would speak the truth to them even when it was inconvenient. Remember Jonah? Didn't want to go to the Ninevites. Got spit out by the whale on the shore. Finally went in, and God asked him to go through Nineveh, saying, "In 3 days your city will be destroyed." Not a popular message. And many of us, even as Christians, as Catholics today, we're scared. We're scared to preach the truth in public. Whether it's shying away from defending the faith, or a bad joke at work that we don't stick up for the dignity of women or others. God has called each of us to be prophets. The Anointed One was also to be the fulfillment of the Davidic kingship, that is the Old Testament kingship. Now remember, the king is the one who rules with God. How many of you, by a show of hands, have ever seen the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Oh my goodness. Go home tonight and rent it, okay? This is an awesome movie. Comes from C.S. Lewis's famous book, part of the Chronicles of Narnia. And it is a beautiful image of what the Christian life is, really. At the end of this movie, these four children, the Pevensey children, are brought to the castle. And the lion, who is the Christ figure, anoints them, if you will, by enthroning them, putting them up on the throne to be the kings and queens of this land called Narnia. And it's a beautiful image of heaven. Now, anybody who's seen the movie knows that these children journey into this land called Narnia, where they have all these different creatures, right? The guy who's the horse on the bottom and the man on the top. I don't know what you call that. There's all these fantasy creatures. And they're the only humans there. These four children. And yet, at the end of the story, they're the ones who are enthroned as kings and queens. C.S. Lewis specifically wrote it that way, to be an image of what we shall be. In our second Eucharistic prayer, we hear the words that God wants us to be co-heirs in his kingdom. meaning he wants us to reign with him, to be kings and queens in another land. Even kings and queens above the angels, you guys. To reign over the angels. God has a beautiful, exalted plan for us. A kingly plan. Now, when you were baptized, most of you as little babies, the priest put some chrism on the top of your head. Chrism is an olive oil mixed with a perfume called balsam. I always let the school kids, come over and smell the chrism. And it's funny, you get reactions. Some are like, ew. And some are like, wow. Thanks, God, but I can do it on my own. I'm just kidding. And this chrism is put on the crown of the head of the child to remind the parents and someday that child that they are baptized in the priesthood, prophecy, and kingship of Jesus Christ. Maybe a neat thing to do this weekend would be to go home. I think I'm going to do this, especially in light of Father's Day. I'm going to go home and pull out my baptism picture. Pull out your baptism picture and remember that at that moment you were commissioned, anointed, chosen by God to be a priest, prophet, and a king. So who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Well, you say it by the way you live out your baptism. You say it by the way you're living out your priesthood, your prophecy, and your kingship. You say, Father, well, I go to church every weekend. I haven't murdered anybody. Yeah, but are you being an effective mediator of God's grace? Are you offering sacrifice on behalf of another? Are you preaching the word of God boldly and without any condition? Without holding back because you're embarrassed? Do you really plan on reigning with him forever in heaven? Or are you just like, well, you know what? I'm going to be doing good to get into purgatory. Are these prayers that we offer today just words to you? Or do they really reflect a deep fact and conviction that you are chosen, commissioned, and anointed by God? As a sharer in the priesthood, what sacrifice will you offer the Father this week? As a share in his prophecy, who will you tell about Jesus this week? Or perhaps share the truth with? And as a share in his kingship, what sin in your life will you conquer this week so that you may reign with him forever in heaven?